Speaking on 2019, the year to be still and experience the fullness of God. We're going to read two passages of scripture. I'll read from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, 35 to 41, and Psalm 46, verse 10a. 2019, the year to be still and experience the fullness of God. Can I ask us to please stand up to our feet if we can as we read God's word? Mark chapter 4, 35 to 41. Mark chapter 4, 35 to 41. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, that's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples. He said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Psalm 46, verse 10. Psalm 46, verse 10. A. Be still and know that I am God. Want to read the B part. I will be exalted among the hidden. I will be exalted in the earth. Let us pray. Father, we honor you, we bless you, we praise you, we worship and adore you. Thank you again for bringing us into the year 2019. Thank you for transitioning us into this new year. We honor you, Lord, we bless you. Thank you for 2018, because everything that happened in 2018, everything you allowed to happen to us in 2018 was to prepare us for the wonderful and mighty things you have in store for us in 2019. So we thank you for 2018, and we receive 2019 with thanksgiving. And we pray, Father, as we look at your word, you would unpack it, you would break it, you will speak, Father, into our destinies, you will speak into our circumstances. Speak, Lord, for we are willing, we are able to receive your word. We bless you, we praise you, we magnify you. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We all say amen. Amen. Please be seated. 2019, the year to be still and experience the fullness of God. Usually, we have a word for the totality of the church, the New Covenant Church worldwide, which comes from our general overseer. But this year, our beloved brother Paul indicated that he did not have a word for the church, and that individual branches should seek the face of the Lord. And I prayed and sought the Lord, and the Lord gave me the word from Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. And I asked the Lord, why are you giving us this word? And the Lord mentioned two things. And one of them was that he said there will be turbulence in the year 2019. And he said there will be a shaking. I believe that that's one of the reasons why he instructed us to fast for 21 days to prepare us for what will happen in this year. And in terms of turbulence, we're going to look at, you know, what all of that means. Turbulence and shaking. What does that mean? would look at that. But going back to the word, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 9, 23 and 24. Jeremiah chapter 9, 23 and 24 in the King James Version. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." If you're going to rejoice, if you're going to glory, if you're going to boast, let your boast be in the Lord. That you know the Lord, that you understand the Lord, and that you know Him. That you understand the Lord, and that you know Him. In this year, God is seeking a relationship with us. He wants a relationship. Somebody say relationship. He wants a reawakening. Some of us are asleep. He wants a reawakening. He wants, in reality, a revival. But as we enter a relationship with Him, as we reawaken ourselves in Christ, revival will break out. Amen. Amen. I don't think you believe that. I said amen. Amen. Revival will break out. Amen. Amen. And by the grace of God, in the coming weeks, we'll look at this in more detail. We'll unpack it. We'll break it. And the Lord will help us. Amen. Amen. Now, as we've said in the past, when God sends a word, it's important that we understand it. If we don't understand it, it's not going to work for us. Understanding is key. I'd like you to tell your neighbor, neighbor. Say it like you mean it, neighbor. Understanding is key. Now, for those of us who were here, for those of us who were not here, on the 16th of December, during our Christmas carol service and Christmas party, I shared from Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38, the story of Mary, the mother of the Lord. And I spoke about the purpose of the word. So every time God gives a word, there is a purpose. God does not waste His resources. When He sends His word, there is a purpose. There's a reasoning. There's a rationale behind. There's a reason why He sends the word. Somebody say purpose. And essentially, it's to accomplish what He pleases, to achieve His purpose. And then we talked about the power of the word. When God gives the word, there is locked within it. It's the ability to accomplish whatever God has in mind. That's why he says, "My word that comes out of my mouth shall not come back to me empty-handed." It says like the snow and the rain that come down and does not return, but waters the earth. Because when the rain comes, when the snow comes, you don't have to look for wetness. It's locked within it. It's the ability to water. In the same way, when He sends His word, the word has the power, the ability to fulfill what God intends. That's the power of the word. And then I said we need to avoid certain pitfalls. So the first one I mentioned was that we need to understand the word. And we looked at the parable of the sower, where Jesus said that the seed that fell on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a good crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And then another pitfall to avoid is the fact that when the word comes, we need to receive it. If you don't receive the word, it will not profit you. To receive it is to accept it. Mary said to the angel, to the archangel, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." You must receive the word. You receive it, you personalize it, you make it your own. And that's what God is asking us to do with the word that he has sent to us this year. Understanding the word. So we need to understand the word. So, you know, I talked about turbulence and shaking. And turbulence is generally associated with flights, airplanes. And it is generally accepted that turbulence is really dangerous. It's annoying. It's an inconvenience. It causes an inconvenience. That's what happened this morning. By 10 o'clock, Pastor Femi was here and the caretaker says, "Well, we're not brought out to use the school today." And we ended up in this place which was cold. We were late because of that in starting. We had to carry the equipment, you know, from all the way across the car park. Very inconveniencing, but not dangerous. Turbulence will hardly cause a plane to crash. But sometimes it brings out what's actually inside people. If you've ever traveled in a plane full of Nigerians that's experiencing turbulence, you will know what's inside of them. Because it will all come out. The Lord is saying, "Be still and know that I am God." In the midst of the turbulence, there will be turbulence. And I thank God for the prayer that Brother Nehi prayed when we were at the beginning. That the storms, the Lord would rearrange them. They would become showers of blessings. And in this period when we fast and pray, one of the prayers I want you to pray for yourself and for the church is that God would rearrange the turbulence. God will rearrange it and turn it into a blessing for us. Amen. Now, turbulence is associated with altitude. When the plane is on the ground, it will not experience turbulence. It's when the plane is flying at an altitude, when the plane is going somewhere. And this year, we are going somewhere. Amen. And I want to prophesy to somebody here today that in the year 2019, God will relocate you and give you a different altitude. I declare that somebody, you would move higher this year in the name of Jesus. If that is you, say, "I receive it in the name of Jesus." The other thing the Lord talked about is shaking. And shaking is the present participle of shake. So what does it mean to shake something? The dictionary says of a structure or area of land to tremble or vibrate. The example given is buildings shook in the Sacramento and tremors were felt in Reno. So to tremble, to vibrate, to quake, to shudder, to rock, to sway, to swing. Example, synonyms of shake. You can also say to move an object up and down or from side to side with rapid, forceful, jerky movements. And there's something the Lord says, talking about His Word and our attitude to His Word. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27, talking about the wise and the foolish builder. The Lord says that those who hear the words of His and puts them into practice, it's like a wise man who built the house upon the rock, the house on the rock. There was a shaking because the rain came. The streams rose. The winds blew and beat against the house, but it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. The difference is that they received the word, they understood the word, they put the word to action. And so I prophesy to you today that although there will be a shaking, although there will be a shaking, you will not fall. You will not fall because you are a doer of the word. Amen. Now, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. So let's break it down because we want to understand it. Jesus said that the seed that fell on the good soil is he who understood the word. So to understand it, we need to break it down. And that's what God expects us to do. To unpack the word, to break it, to put it in bite-sized pieces, to make it easier for us to understand. So there are three sort of crucial words in the word that the Lord has given to us. Be still and know that I am God. The first is obviously still, and then know, and God. So what does it mean? What does it mean to be still? What is still? The word still is both an adjective and a noun. As an adjective, it means not moving or making a sound. Synonyms include motionless, unmoving, without moving a muscle, rock still, like a statue. You know, there are times you go through the high street and you see people who are painted in some colors, sometimes like a plant. All different kinds of colors, but they're just still. And except you move close and get really close to them, you wouldn't know that that's actually a human being. They're still motionless, so still in one position that they look almost lifeless. God is asking us to be motionless in His presence, to be still, because the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to Him. And He is the Lord of heaven's armies, the Lord of hosts. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And as a noun, still means deep silence and calm. Quietness, quiet, quietude, silence, stillness, hush, soundlessness, noiselessness. Some of us are too noisy. We don't know how to sit still. God is saying, look, this battle is not yours. It belongs to Him. And He doesn't want to share the glory with you. He doesn't want any help. You know, I don't know if it happens now. In those days when people wanted their children to go to particular grammar schools, they will rent a property outside of Borough in the vicinity of that school. So normally you have to be living in that environment to qualify, but to stand a good chance or a better chance apart from doing the exams. But then they will rent a place there. They're not living there, but they rent a place there. And then when the children get in, they'll come and give a testimony. You're helping God. God does not want your help. Tell your neighbor, let's be clear. God does not want your help. Because he doesn't want to share his glory with you or with anybody. He says, be still. The battle belongs to him. He will fight for himself. Be still. And he will come through. Be still. Be still. Tell your neighbor, learn to be still. In the midst of the turbulence and the shaking, God is asking you and I to be still. But still where? In his presence. To be still in his presence. The second word is the word know. Again, it's a verb. So a verb is an action word. And this is interesting. It says the first, and this is from the dictionary. The first part of it says, be aware of, through observation, inquiry, or information. Synonyms, be aware, realize, be conscious, have knowledge, be informed, have information, notice, perceive, see, sense, recognize, understand, appreciate. Now the second meaning says to develop a relationship with someone through meeting and spending time with them. Be familiar or friendly with. Synonyms, to be acquainted with, have met, be familiar with, be friends with, be friendly with, on good terms with, be close to, be intimate with, socialize with, associate with, have dealings with, understand, have insight into, be in sympathy with. In other words, God is saying that in this year, he wants us to be still, but he wants a relationship with us. To know him, we have to have a relationship with him. We have to have met him. We have to be with him. We have to spend time with him. We have to seek to know him. He expects us to observe him. Spend time with him. To inquire about him. Ask him questions. Speak to him. When the angel came to Mary, she was troubled. She didn't, just adopt Christianese and become spiritual and say, okay. No, she asked questions. How might this be? Ask God questions. Inquire. Find out. Tell him, Lord, what are you talking about? I don't understand this. Information, study the scriptures. Jeremiah 29:13. Can we have that in the message? Jeremiah 29:13. The KJV says, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. The Message translation says, when you come looking for me, you will find me. Yes. When you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, he will make himself known to you. You have to spend time. You have to seek him. I don't know if it happens now. In those days when we were young men seeking a wife, some of them played hard to get. And you had to work at it. You had to seek. You had to be inventive. You had to find a way to get their attention. You have to find a way to get to know them. You have to find a way to understand them, to give them what they want. We have to seek God if we want Him to come through for us. This year, He wants a relationship. He wants a reawakening. And that will lead to a revival. The final word that we need to consider is obviously the word God. And in the Old Testament, obviously written in Hebrew and Aramaic, the word translated God here is the same word that's translated God in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, where the Bible says, "In the beginning, God." And it appears in about 2,750 translations in the Old Testament. And it's the word Elohim. So God is saying, be still, be calm, be quiet in my presence, that you may know, that you may appreciate, that you may understand, that you may recognize that I am Elohim. Elohim is the mighty one, the supreme one. In other words, there is no situation, there is no circumstance, there is no storm, there is no challenge that would come in the year 2019 that the supreme one, the mighty one, cannot deal with. There's nothing. He's the supreme one. He's the almighty. They say Donald Trump, the American president, is the most powerful man in the world. God is more powerful than the most powerful. You know the story of the rich fool. He stored up so much. And he said to himself, "Oh my soul, relax, enjoy." And the Lord said, "Tonight, I'll require your soul." And that was the end of him. The supreme one. You know, in the UK, we have a Supreme Court that is not actually supreme. It used to be called the House of Lords. Now it's called the Supreme Court. It's not supreme because if you're not satisfied with their judgment, you can go to the European Court of Human Rights. But we're talking about the Supreme One. If God says no, who can say yes? If God says yes, who can say no? The Bible says he has the keys of David. He shuts a door, no man can open it. He opens a door, no man can shut it. He says, be still and know that I am God. I don't know if you realize, for those of us who were there this morning, when we gave the documents to the gentleman, the caretaker, and he took a photograph and he said he wanted to call his boss. And then after some time he came back and he said he couldn't get them, but he's going to let us in anyway. And then he started apologizing and said, you know, he would tell them that, you know, we didn't start at the time we should have started, so we'll get a rebate or whatever for that. I mean, what happened? What changed his mind? He was telling us, you know, he can't let us in. In fact, we can't go beyond the reception because he might lose his job. What changed his mind? He tried to call his boss at the agency. He couldn't get them. But he came back and told us we can come in. and was very apologetic. What changed his mind? Be still and know that I am God. What is that challenge? At work? Who is that boss? At work. What is that situation at home? In your marriage? Or is it your health? What is that situation? Give it to the Lord. And be still in His presence. And you will know that He is God. Because He will come through for you. He doesn't need your help. There's no self-help here. Heaven does not help those who help themselves. Don't you try to help God. Be still and know that He is God. Let us pray. There's a song that says, "Be still and know that I am God." I don't know if we know it. I don't really know it. Be still and know that I